Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 18. We'll begin at verse 9, and it's 5 verses this week, so not too difficult. While you're turning there, would like to say welcome to Yui or Yuri? Yui? Yui, Miura, right? Welcome. I'm glad you can join us today. And let's go ahead and read our scripture for today, and then we'll spend our time in meditation on the word. So these are the words of Jesus. Shall we read it together? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The very words of Jesus. Amen. Well, do you know the story of Akazukin-chan? Do you know this? Do you know? Yeah. Akazukin-chan is, in English, Little Red Riding Hood. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I thought she was sleeping. Okay. So I'm going to tell you an interesting version. This is a new version of Little Red Riding Hood. It's the Habakon version, all right? Haba version, all right. So Little Red Riding Hood, she goes to the forest, and she's going to bring a basket to her grandmother's house. And as she goes to the house, it's in the forest, and she finds the house, she opens the door, and her grandmother is in the bed. So she says, Grandmother, are you okay? And the grandmother says, I'm okay. Well, come in, my granddaughter. And the voice of the grandmother was very, it was very strange. And so Little Red Riding Hood noticed her grandmother had big ears, and she said, Grandmother, what big ears you have. And the grandmother said, oh, it's the better so I can hear you. And when she said, I can hear you, she could see her grandmother's teeth. And Little Red Riding Hood said, oh, Grandmother, what big teeth you have. And the grandmother says, it's the better so that I can eat you. And Little Red Riding said, oh, no. And it turns out the grandmother was a wolf, and the wolf ate Little Red Riding Hood. Yay! Yeah, it was good, because what happened was the wolf opened the basket of Little Red Riding Hood, and there was poison food inside. Yeah, and the grandmother was in the closet, and she was afraid that her granddaughter would come. And she told the wolf, please help me and pretend to be me. And so the wolf said, okay. And that was the plan. All right. Good version? No? Terrible version. Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, Joyce. I know it was bad. Okay. So this is a story. In Japanese, I think it's called the Dendongaishi. Dondengaishi? Dondengaishi, right? The top and the bottom are flipped. Yeah? Right. That is this parable. This tatoebanashi, okay? It's dondengaishi. because you have two characters. The first character is the Pharisee, and he is supposed to be this wonderful, kind, wise, good man. He's like, you know, in Japan, you used to have this TV show called Mito Komon, right? You know, he was like, I don't know what he did, but he was very, very old and gentle and heroic. He was a hero, right? So the Pharisee was like this Mito Komon. He was very heroic and wise, and he always did the good thing. That's the Pharisee. And then you have the tax collector. Okay, the tax collector, he's a bad guy, like a wolf. If I could say, maybe he's like the Yakuza member, but like bad Yakuza, like the Yakuza who collects money and gives it to North Korea or something, you know? And just a terrible, terrible type of person. And Jesus says, the bad guy is the Pharisee. The good guy is the tax collector. And the way you know is how they pray. Jesus told a story before this. This starts at verse 9. But if you look at verse 1 through 8, Jesus is teaching about prayer. And Jesus taught his disciples in verses 1 through 8. At the end of history, when you are in a country, you are in a place where there are few Christians, and the spiritual world and the political realm is against you, and you have so many discouragements, attacks, depression, and delay, it will be easy to give up. And so Jesus gives a story about how not to give up in prayer. And he says, how you don't give up is you don't say, I have to pray. I'm going to pray. I must pray. I'm a Christian. I have to pray. No. Jesus says the way that you will not give up praying is you look at the character of God. You remember who God is, and that will give you strength to keep praying. And the way God is he's patient. He's compassionate. He is slow to anger. And he's quick to give justice. And that's verses 1 through 8, teaching us to pray. But then the author, Luke, says, yeah, while we're on the subject of prayer, let me tell you another story that Jesus told about prayer. And this is the reason. Well, you see it in verse 9. Some are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else. Okay. They look down on other people. Because here's the problem with Christians. Okay? If you are a Christian, you're a disciple of Jesus, here is our problem. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing from heaven through Christ Jesus. I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I am a royal priesthood. I am set apart for the purpose of God. God loves me as his own. True? Amen? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. The problem is, we go from that to, because God saved me, God thinks I'm better than other people. Because God made me new, maybe I'm so special. I'm better than the other person who's not saved by God. And our tendency is to look at other people and, like this Pharisee, look down on other people. And Jesus gives us this teaching. I want to look at some important words. In the first verse, verse 9, it says righteousness, righteousness. And then I think in Nihongo it's 正しい 人, 正しい 人間 と, right? And then at the last verse, verse 14, it says, I want to tell you this man, rather than the other, went home justified, 義とされた, right? Now, in English and in Japanese, the word is different. 正しい人, right? Righteousness. And then here, justified, 義とされた. In the original language, written in Greek, it's the same word. Okay? Right? Dikaiomai. That's right. I haven't studied Greek in 20 years. Dikaiomai, which is the word, the first word, ma, kogi or righteous or good, or it's a legal word, which means the judge says that you are okay. When I was a young man living in California, I was driving with a broken windshield. And the reason my windshield was broken was because I punched it. I was so angry, I was running late, and I was so frustrated, I said, ah! I punched my ceiling and I punched my windshield, and my windshield literally shattered. And maybe you think, ooh, he's so strong. He punched the windshield and it broke. No, my car is so cheap that I punched the windshield and it broke. Okay, that's how poor and cheap my car is. And so the police came and they saw me driving on the road with a broken windshield, and they said, you broke the law. Now you can pay, or you can go in front of the judge. And this was probably the most afraid I've ever been in my life. Just, I have to stand in front of a judge, and he's going to say, guilty or not guilty. And so the next day, I went to the court, and I stood in front of a judge. It was a woman, and she said, why is your windshield broken? And I said, I broke it. And she said, why are you driving on the road? I said, I have no choice. I have to go to work. And she says, it's illegal. You broke the law. So I'm going to make you pay. So I had to pay. And when you pay, then you are okay. So everyone knows in their heart, in their mind, in their soul, God is the judge. And it is him who can say, you are okay. You are righteous. You are correct in what you do. You see, that word, didakomai, didikaiomai, in verse 9, it's a good translation. Verse 9, it says righteousness, okay? So righteousness, it's not only about how good you are in your heart. It's not what it means, really. Righteousness is about relationships. And so, 正しい人とか、正しい人間, or 義, 公義の義. It's not that you are a good or morally good person. It means that you treat other people the right way. That's what it means. You look at another person at work, and if they're a bucho or cacho, or if they're above you, you treat them the right way with proper respect. You use the correct words. All right, so there's the joge kanke in Japan. If you're speaking to someone who is below you, they treat you the right way, and you don't beat them or you don't hurt them, but you help them, and you help them come up. You help them become stronger. You help them become successful. That's treating them the right way. And so the Bible, this word, all the way through the Old Testament, even until now, it always means treating people the right way. That's righteousness. And not only is it treating people the right way, it's not only having the right relationship with people, it's having the right relationship with God. So here it is. Righteousness is right relationships with people, and righteousness is having a right relationship with God. It's horizontal and it's vertical. And so Jesus is saying, this Pharisee, how do you know his relationship with God is not right? How do you know this Pharisee does not have the right relationship with God? It's because of the way he looks at other people. He doesn't see them the right way. He doesn't treat them the right way. And therefore, God does not look at him as right. Does that make sense? Are you following me? Now, here's where we can see it even more closely. Look where the Pharisee is standing. It says that in verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. Do you see that? By himself. Now, why is he by himself? Here's the situation. In verse 10, two men went up to the temple. The only time you go to the temple is once a year. Actually, it was last week. In the Jewish religion, even today, the most important part of the year is Yom Kippur. It actually finished in September 27th, last week. You have to fast, you don't eat, and you go to the temple, and you bring a gift. You know, in Japan, you have Hatsumode, right? New Year's. You bring, you go to the temple and you pray. Some people bring a gift or a sasagemono, right? An offering, okay? That's in Japan, that happens in the New Year's. But in Israel, it happened in the fall, at the end of September. And the Jewish people don't bring like sake or rice or fruit or an arrow, right? But in Israel, what they bring is an animal. They bring a goat, a lamb, a bull, and they have to cut the bull's neck and put the blood at the temple. They take the goat and they kill the goat and they put the blood of the goat on the altar. Chris, what does that have to do with this? I'm telling you, trust me. I'm going to get back to that image later. So here they are at the temple. And the Pharisee, he goes by himself up to the very front. To the very front. He's a Pharisee. Now, at the temple, if you go to the temple, there is a place for the women and a place for the men. It's a symbol of sexual purity, and it's a symbol of men and women are equal, but they are made with different gifts and purposes. All of humanity together is a man and a woman, but God has said, we're going to make you different to reflect my glory in different ways. So, he says the women go, and then the men go closer. And then from the men come the priests. And so the closer you get to the heart of the temple, the Holy of Holies, only the priest, the Saishi, can go into the heart of it. Because the priest is the representative of the people. The Pharisee, they can't go that far. But this Pharisee says, I'm going to get as close as I can by myself because God wants me to be so close. It's like you come to Mitaki and the women are at the back there and then at the front come the men and then only the pastor can stand on the stage, right? Only the holiest man who represents God, right? But then But then somebody thinks, oh, they're so holy and so righteous. They're the gift of God to all the people. And they stand here and they pray, God, thank you that I'm so wonderful. Right? That's what he's saying. Right? Thank you that I'm not a thief, an adulterer, a wicked person. I'm not that person, that tax collector. Isn't that strange? Right? Somebody says thank you, and then when they say thank you, they should say, because you did something good. Thank you for what you did, right? But this Pharisee says, thank you for what I am. That's kind of strange. He doesn't talk about how good God is. He talks about how good he is. This is what happens. Now, please follow me. This is what happens when we think we're better than people. We stand by ourselves. We separate ourselves. We think we are right. We think we treat others right. But the truth is, we're isolated. This is the problem of every human being in all of history. This is not just the problem with Christians, but all of us as people want our own righteousness. All of us want our own standard. We want to be our own God. Let me show you what I mean. Righteousness means God approves. God looks at you and you pass. You're good enough. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God looked at humans and he loved them. They were beautiful. They were the head of his creation. And you know what? Humans, we had a right relationship with God. We were naked before God. We had no shame. God approved of everything of us. But then what happened in Genesis chapter 3 is we wanted our own righteousness. We wanted to be our own God. And we call this the Handan, the rebellion. And we told God, we don't want what you give us. We'll make our own righteousness. We decide what's good and evil. We will take the fruit of the tree of good and evil. And then we were ashamed. And we tried to cover ourselves because we knew God did not approve. Not only that, here's what happened. We separated from each other. Eve, the wife, pointed her finger at the husband. The husband pointed his finger at Eve. And now, the relationship between man and the woman are separated. This is what happens with all of us. We are all alone, separated from the people we want to be with. Okay? I know, it's getting bad. I have to tell you the bad news before I can give you the good news. I'm going to get to the gospel. But the reality is, we live in Japan, and Japan is the country of harmony, wa, right? In Japan, relationships are so important. I remember I was reading a student's essay about Japanese negotiation versus Chinese negotiation. When a Japanese and a Chinese company are negotiating, the Chinese company immediately says, your offer is not good enough. You need to change this. You need to add that. You need to remove this. The Japanese company is different. The Japanese negotiation is, yes, okay, we'll do that. Thank you. And then, after 1 week, the Japanese company will say, but we should change this. We need to add that. We need to remove this. And so the Chinese company gets angry at the Japanese company. The Japanese company says, what's wrong with our negotiation? In Japan, the very beginning of the negotiation, you have to establish the good relationship. And then, after you've established the good relationship, you can go on with the negotiation. So in this country, that's so important, is the right relationship with each other. The problem is, even in Japan, the husband is isolated from the wife. The wife doesn't know her husband after 25 years of marriage. The father doesn't know his children. The children go to school, and at their school, they don't know their friends. They want to be a part of the group, but for some reason, they are different. And it's all throughout society, everyone is dealing with the problem of being alone because they are not in right relationship. But God knows our heart, and God sees our loneliness, and God saw how we are isolated from each other. And in order to bring us back together, he brings us back to him. This is the gospel. We are alone because we rejected God, and so we reject each other. So God says, I will come to you, and I'll make you new. This is called the wakai, the restoration, reconciliation. Heaven and earth are coming together. And because heaven and earth are coming together, human and human can come together. But what is necessary? How do we do that? How is that accomplished? Next key word, go to the tax collector in verse 13. The tax collector stood at a distance, far from the altar. He's humble. He says, I don't deserve to be close. So the tax collector is not trying to be a gift to other people. He knows. He's a robber, he's a thief, he's a betrayer, he's the scum of the scum. Now it gets good. How does God receive the tax collector? How does God make the tax collector a new human being? How does God save us? With this prayer. This is called the Jesus Prayer, and I'll tell you what this Jesus Prayer is more fully a little bit later, but I want to show you a very special word. In verse 13, it says, he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Awarende kudasai. Now, usually, with awaremu, have mercy, that's a Greek word, the Greek word is eleon. Eleon. That is not the word here. This word that this tax collector uses is not awarende kudasai. It's aganai, aganaide kudasai, aganau. Atone for my sins. God, remove my sin by covering it with the blood. That's this word here. It's a very special word. This tax collector knows my separation from God, my rebellion from God, my disobedience, my sin must be paid for. My broken windshield must be paid for. My violation against the law must be paid for. This tax collector went to the temple. At the heart of the temple is a box. It's called the altar. Inside the box is the law of God, the Ten Commandments. But you know what's on top of that box? On top of that box is a gold sheet. It's called the mercy seat. And when once a year on Yom Kippur, the priest with the blood of the bull puts the blood on top of that mercy seat, and God says, according to the law, you are clean by the blood of this sacrifice put on the mercy seat. Are you with me? This tax collector said, God, don't worry about my sin. God, just put my sin under the rug. God, put my sin in the closet. No. This tax collector knows, God, I cannot pay for my sin. I need you to pay for my sin for me. God, have mercy on me. God, please pay the price that I should pay. That's what he's saying. This tax collector knows, I have no power in myself, no ability on my own to make myself righteous. Only you can make me righteous, oh God. And you know what? The English translation is not good here. It says, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? Shitekanshi. A sinner. This is actually, in the Greek, it should be the sinner. The sinner. Because he understands, okay, I stole some money. It's a sin. Okay, I beat some people. It's a sin. Okay, I'm betraying my people. It's a sin. No. It's not that I stole money. It's not that I hurt people. It's that I am evil in my heart. The sin is what makes me hurt other people. And God, I need you to cover the sinner with the blood of the sacrifice. Jesus tells this story because he knows a few days later, he is going to go to the cross so that he can be the sacrifice to shed the blood that covers our sin. And he has mercy on us through the blood. And so this tax collector is our senpai. Jesus says, you want justification? You want right relationship with God? Say this prayer. So I want to teach you the prayer I pray 100 times a day. When I wake up in the morning, okay, I wake up in the morning and I say the Lord's Prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay? I pray that every day in the morning when I wake up. That's it, just one time a day. But then after that, pretty much all day, I pray this prayer. It's called the Jesus Prayer. And it goes like this. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's my prayer throughout the entire day. Okay? I'm going on the... Not even that. I'm putting on my clothes. I go downstairs. And, the kids are shouting. My wife is saying, what's wrong with you? I say, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? And I get on my motorcycle to go to work. And I speed past some other cars. I cut them off. Right? I do some bad things on the road. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then, not only that, another car comes to me and cuts me off, all right, or treats me wrong on the road. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Right? I go to work, and all day, class after class, student after student, coworker after coworker, the parents come and they call me and they say, what's wrong with you? You don't cheat. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Cover my sin. Cover my rebellion. Yes, Lord, they hurt me. Yes, Lord, they sinned against me. Yes, Lord, they treated me wrong. But Lord, have mercy on me for not being forgiving, for being bitter, for being impatient. Have mercy on me. Cover my sin, Lord Jesus, for thinking I'm better than them. Have mercy on me for putting or for looking down on other people. You will never have your heart transformed and be changed into a new creation until you understand you are no better than anybody else. And that Jesus Christ, because he loved you, he covered your sin by his blood. Until you have his blood covering your heart and paying for your sin, there's no freedom. There's no connection. There's no reconciliation. There's no wakai. But here's what you need. Just like this sinner, here is what it means to be a Christian. Here's how to repent of your sin. Three things. I call them the three R's of repentance. Number one, recognize you cannot save yourself. You can't save yourself. You have no power. Two, request that God saves you. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Request it. Pray it. And number three, receive the forgiveness of God. Receive the forgiveness of God. It's a gift. Tamamono. You don't deserve it, but Jesus loves you, so he gives it freely. Now, this is what happens when you receive it. This is the last bit of the grammar. Verse 14, it says, I tell you the truth, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. Now, that word, went home. Yenikaita. Once more, the Greek. It's very important. It actually means he went down to his home. Okay? That's very important because I want you to see something. Look at the beginning in verse 10. The two men went up to the temple. You see that? They went up to the temple. Now, verse 14, the one man went down to his home. Okay? See the directions? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, when you get the gospel, when you get righteousness from God, when God covers your sin and you are forgiven, you go back down to your home. You go back down to your work, to your school, to your business. You go back down into life, a new human being. God saves you not so that you can go to heaven. God saves you so that you bring heaven to earth. That is what Jesus came to do. That's called the kingdom of God. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah? So we come up to church. We have powerful worship. We have wonderful testimony, great prayer. We hear the word of God. We go back down to our families, to our places of life every day, and we live in humility and in power and in the love of Jesus Christ. The Jesus Prayer, I recommend it to you. I pray it all the time. It helps, okay? But it is the mantra of a disciple of Jesus. Okay? I know mantra is not a Christian word, but we'll take it anyway. Okay? Right? It's the mantra of a Christian. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, take his mercy. Take his payment. If that's you, let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. Let's receive the body of Jesus, the blood of Christ. Let's participate in his suffering. And then also participate in the hope of the resurrection. That is why these plates are here today. Okay, so it's communion. I'll open these here.